This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Donald Trump tried his hand at bipartisanship in this week's State of the Union address. Analysts say the speech was bipartisan and also deeply divisive. The president called for unity, but also promised to stand firm in the fight over whether to build a border wall. Political junkie Ken Rudin shares his take on the speech, and we'll also talk about the leadership crisis in Virginia and the Green New Deal. Ken, welcome back.
Thank you, Frank. Is it the State of the Union or the State of Things? That's the way I like to call it.
Well, they took it from us, and in fact, there is a legal challenge right now. But before we look, this thing has been going on for a long time. The State of the Union is always a form of political theater. It always has been. But the staging lately has really risen to a new art. And so there's the president on a particularly interesting State of the Union, given the tension over whether and when to hold the State of the Union address, right? So this one, unique in many ways.
Well, that is absolutely true. I mean, it was delayed a week because Nancy Pelosi rescinded her invitation to the president to give his State of the Union address to Congress because of the shutdown. Now, so it was delayed a week. But it was also interesting because unlike last year's State of the Union, where you had a united, or at least should I say, a one-party government, the House, the Senate, and the White House, all under Republican control, you had the very visible presence of Nancy Pelosi, the Democratic House Speaker, sitting in back of her. And while I couldn't take my eyes off the president, of course, I couldn't take my eyes off Nancy Pelosi either, because her grimaces, her faces, her mock applause, if you saw the Pelosi clap meme on social media,
exactly.
I mean, it was just wild to watch and very instructive to see the way that government is divided these days.
Well, and in the audience, too, women and white. I mean, again, and whose guests, you know, Democrats bringing their guests, the president, of course, pointing out his kind of the window dressing to theatrically demonstrate his policies. All of it, as I say, kind of come rising ever more to a high art.
That's true. But you know something, that you mentioned the women in white for the suffragist movement. I thought it was so fascinating because when the president at one point mentioned all the gains made by women in 2018, now most of these women, the Democratic members of the House, did everything they could not to applaud anything the president had to say. And so when the president talked about these great advances by women, the Republicans stood up and applauded until many of the Democratic women said, wait a second, they're talking about us. We're the ones who made these great gains
right.
in 2018. And suddenly they stood up and applauded, and they were screaming, right. USA, USA, right. which is exactly what the Republicans were doing.
And over the dead bodies of the white men of the opposition
right.
party who have resisted so exactly. hard to the gains of women, and of course Donald Trump, who's made that clear. Do we have any indication? Because one of the things that used to happen, even though it was always theater, was you did have some indication of where the president was going in the next couple of years. Do we have any suggestion of that from this speech? Kenny, are you there? Oh, we may have lost Ken Rudin.
Of where the president is going? Well, I mean, the fact that he made an important mention. Did you really?
We're here, and you are live on the air. We're talking to Ken Rudin today about
true?
The State of the Union address and other issues in the week gone by. Ken, you are live and on the radio. Tell us what you think about, again, any indication of, you know, the policy that the administration might be taking. This is something we'd counted on the State of the Union, whatever else it was. Was that happening in this one?
Are we connected?
We are on. Ken, you are on the air, but
are
he's
we
not
connected?
Here. Oh, I see. Ken's not hearing me. Well, while we get that worked out, we've got a lot of other things to talk about. We will talk about the tsunami in politics in the state of Virginia. Three top officials and a fourth, if you count the Republican leader of the Senate, now the Virginia Senate, also swept up in controversies over college activities and blackface. This, the Republican the leader of the Virginia Senate, a Republican leader who was the managing editor of the yearbook in 1968 when it came out with numerous photographs of white people in blackface and KKK costumes. So a fourth member of a high-ranking member of the Virginia political elite also swept up in that controversy. We'll talk about that. Also, we're going to talk about the Democratic Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez from New York, a Democrat and Democratic U.S. Senator Ed Markey, who presented what they are calling a framework for green technology and addressing climate change, the Green New Deal. And amazingly enough, while many Democrats have supported it, the leader of the Democratic Party, at least in the U.S. House, seems to be very cool to the idea. So we will talk about that. Ken Rudin may be back with us now. Ken, always a pleasure to have you back, even in the middle of a segment when you come and go.
I never left, to be honest with you. For better or worse, I never left.
Well, I was happy to have you back. Talking about the president now and whether or not we can glean anything about administration policy in the coming year.
Well, here's the problem. First of all, I mean, these are, as you pointed out, this was two completely different speeches. It was one that called for unity and comity and bipartisanship. And then, of course, he was talking about socialism and the wall that he insists he's not going to back down from. So, but the more important thing is, I think, when he mentioned the fact that the investigations, these partisan investigations that are going on, that is absorbing the president's focus, and I think it's absorbing Washington's focus as well, as we saw the House Ways and Means Committee talking about getting the president's tax returns, as we see the House Judiciary Committee ready to have an acting attorney general, Matt Whitaker, testify about possible dealings, administration dealings with Russia. So for all the things that the president wants, you know, he was talking about national paid family leave and lower priced prescription drugs. Well, that's great, but when there's all these investigations going on that the Democrats are anxious to get started, it's hard to make the case that much will be get done in a year when basically half the Senate is already running for president.
Yeah, and we have another shutdown looming, and the president doesn't sound like he's going to yield, and so, you know, that may happen again. And so,
although Republicans are not only against the shutdown because the Republicans took a beating during the 35-day shutdown we saw last month, but also all the threats of the president using emergency powers to bypass Congress and to go, you know, begin the building of the wall. This is exactly what Mitch McConnell knows would be bad for the country, bad for the party, and perhaps disastrous for the presidential campaign in 2020.
Talking to the political junkie today on the state of things. About all things political, hey, let's talk about this Democratic Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and New York Democratic Senator Ed Markey. Ed Markey of Massachusetts, I should say, introducing the Green New Deal framework. Talk about this, what it is, but also Nancy Pelosi's response to this. It's quite fascinating.
Well, you said it's a framework, and that's an important thing to point out because it's not legislation that's about to be voted on. It's basically a blueprint, an ambitious blueprint, but it's a blueprint basically to get the country energy, you know, independent by 2030. They're talking about zero emissions and upgrading all these office buildings around the country, everyone in the country, to make them energy efficient, slowing down carbon emissions, things like that. So this is something that when we talk about what Nancy Pelosi's reaction to it, first of all, anything that comes from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, you know that there's going to be an interesting reaction from Nancy Pelosi because Ocasio-Cortez made it clear during the campaign she was not a fan of Nancy Pelosi. And Nancy Pelosi doesn't forget those kind of slights. But at the same time, this is something that Nancy Pelosi dearly, clearly believes in. Now, she did say in an interview with Politico that she called it, she said, oh, you mean the green dream or whatever they call it? I mean, that sounded like it was putting it down. But having said that, 10 years ago when the Democrats were in the majority in the House and Senate, Nancy Pelosi went all out for this kind of carbon emissions reform, and they passed it in the House, but it went nowhere in the Senate, the Democratic Senate. It went, and they had a Democratic president, Barack Obama, then. So they know that with a Republican Senate and a Republican president, this green dream is not going to go far. But it is basically what Ocasio-Cortez and Ed Markey are trying to do is let the country know and let Congress know that this is a serious problem. Climate change is real, and it's happening faster than anybody knows it. And even though it's just a blueprint, it is something, and it's very vague, of course, but it's something that the Congress needs to take care of sooner than later.
But interestingly enough, politically, it's called the Green New Deal. Here's Ocasio-Cortez talking about it.
We have tried their approach for 40 years. For 40 years, we tried to let the private sector take care of it. They said, we got this. We can do this. The forces of the market are going to force us to innovate, except for the fact that there's a little thing in economics called externalities. And what that means is that a corporation can dump pollution in the river and they don't have to pay for it, and taxpayers have to pay for cleaning up our air, cleaning up our water, and saving the planet. And so we've already been paying the costs, except we have not been getting any of the benefit. And so what we're here to say is that government is not just for cleaning up other people's mess, but it's also for building solutions in places where the private sector will not.
Democratic Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Okay, a couple things. I've only got 30 seconds left for this. She's noted for her, you know, very new, young face and knows how to use social media. New Deal, that's going back decades, and that clip was 45 seconds. You talk about a throwback, somebody who's actually explaining things in the way Martin Luther King would actually take you back and explain things, taking us back decades some ways, and a very, very sort of 21st century politician. In 10 seconds, what's her future, do you think? Again, you got a House Speaker who's not very warm to her.
Well, again, I think they're still on the same page. The reason people love Ocasio-Cortez so much is she speaks her mind. She reflects the impatience that so many Democrats have, that unlike the Democratic leaders in the past, you can't be, let's go along to get along. We have to do something now, not yesterday. So we have to do it now. And Ocasio-Cortez represents that better than anybody else.
Ken Rudin is the political junkie. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you, Frank.
Just ahead, one of Raleigh's first black police officers helped bring the community together through music. We'll talk about it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.